So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, he continues to help us, to guide us, to direct our steps. And we are still in the book of Ephesians, and we're in Ephesians chapter 6. And we continue to see what are these weapons of warfare that the Lord has given us, you know, and he tells us that be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then he tells us that we might be able, you know, to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles. And we say the wiles of the devil are the tricks of the devil, the confusion that he brings in the minds of believers. He tries to put them down so that they don't know what God has given them in Christ. And thus, anyone that does not know what God has given them in Christ, then becomes a victim of the devil, because to the rest of the world he has blinded them. The Bible says the whole world is under the control of the devil, and those who are disobedient, their minds have been blinded, their eyes have been blinded, that they do not see the light of the gospel, the light of the truth of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ, which is displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. So we are cautioned and we are warned that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. So many times the battles that we face, these battles are not orchestrated by human beings. At times we think they are human beings, but there are always spiritual forces in the background that are controlling these people, and they are pushing them, you know, to commit evil, to turn against you, and to fight. Many times it is altars that are fighting, you know, because these are altars that are raised by wicked men. These are altars that are raised by works of darkness. They are raised to fight, to destroy, to attack. And that's why the Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. And we've been able to see all those structure of the devil. But then we are told to put on the whole armor of God. And we give this description. Think of a Roman soldier. Before he goes to war, he puts on the helmet. He puts on the breastplate. He puts on his shoes. He ties up with his belt. He takes up a shield. You know, he takes up his sword and he goes to fight. And we have been able to see how all these are defensive items. You see, there is a helmet of salvation, which Paul uses to describe that this is the truth of the word of God, the absoluteness of God, what God has said, everything that he has taught you. Salvation, when you understand who you are in Christ, then your head can be in check. You will not hear the lies of the devil. You will not hear the confusion that comes from the devil. The Bible also tells us the breastplate of righteousness. We've seen that protects. It's like your bulletproof, because righteousness is imputed, is given by God. This righteousness does not come from what you do, but it comes from what Christ has done. And this is the only foundation by which we stand. The Bible tells us that he that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So God has made us his righteousness. Then you think about the belt of truth. That is what ties it up all together. When you know what God has said to be true, and you know that God is not a man to lie, not a son of man to change his mind, what he speaks, he must accomplish, you know. So what God has spoken in his word is the absoluteness of his truth. And it is what, when you tie it together, it will make you free and you can be able to run. No one without a belt will run effectively, because they will be trying to hold their clothes together. Then also, we've also seen the feet, that your feet need to be tied up. Your sandals need to be strapped up ready, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And we say this gospel of peace is the gospel of shalom. This is God's well-being, God's prosperity over you, God's redemption, that peace and tranquility that comes from knowing that your heart is at rest in the hands of God in this life and in the life to come. So when you have the gospel of peace, you know that our gospel is the one of peace. We are actually having the Prince of Peace, and he is the Lord of Lords. And we've also been able to see the shield of faith, where you're supposed to quench yourself from every fiery arrow of the enemy. You know, the enemy sends fiery darts or flaming arrows, and as a soldier, you are supposed to soak your shield in water such that when that fiery arrow comes, it is quenched. It is quenched by your shield that is soaked. And we see the water represents the Word of God. So each and every day when you take up the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, it becomes a shield for you that is able to fight any arrow. You see, when you go to the office and someone just abuses you, or your boss says something that is just to trigger you off, those are flaming arrows. They are just designed to attack and to see how much defense you are. If you have the Word of God within you, then you are able to fight every fiery dart of the wicked one. And yesterday we were able to see the helmet of salvation. And today, verse 17, Ephesians 6:17, the Bible says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." You see, all of these other weapons that we've looked at so far are all kind of defensive. You know, you're protecting yourself. You're standing where God has told you to stand. You're establishing yourself in truth. You've put yourself in the foundation. You're ready for war. But you see, the Bible tells us, Jesus tells his disciples, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail." It is not the believers who are to be defensive, but it is us who are to take the war to the gates of the devil. And how do we take the war to the gates of the devil? By the Word of God. And so we see that the sword of the Spirit, that means if you're going to have a weapon, if you're going to have something that is going to pierce through the heavens, that is going to be able to fight the spiritual warfare, not fighting because you are in trouble, but fighting because Christ has won the victory already, and you're fighting from victory, and you're going to effect what your Father has given you. You're going to take possession of that which God has released for you. How do you take possession of it? By the Word of God, by the sword of the Spirit. You see, when you think about how the Bible describes the Word of God as a sword, you must first go to the foundation of what is the Word of God. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," John 1:1, "and the Word was with God, and the Word is God." That means the Word of God is God himself. He was with God in the beginning. And then the Bible tells us that all things were made by him or through him, and nothing was made without him. And the Bible tells us that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So one of the things, the foundation, is that you must know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. So when we come to interact with the Scriptures, when we come to read the Word of God, we are coming to see, we are coming to speak to, we are coming to experience God himself. You can imagine if you had someone that, yes, he is there with you, you cannot see him, but you hear his voice. You will have very certainty that he is with you. Now, that is how God is. We interact with God through his word, through his voice. Why? Because God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So our very eyes cannot see him, because the Bible tells us that no man can see God and live. That means that we cannot approach him with our naked eye. He is above all things. He fills all things. He is in the universe. He is beyond the universe. God exists in the realm that we interact with him with his voice. The Bible tells us that Adam, while he was in the garden, the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden. Can you imagine the voice of God? The Bible tells us that the voice of the Lord came walking in the garden. So God's interaction with man from the beginning of time has always been through his word. So the Word of God is God himself. And then when the Bible tells us that the Word became flesh, that means the Word of God that God spoke, the Word that created, the Word that says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and God said, God spoke, let there be light. That interaction that comes from creation, that word of God is Christ himself. When the word became flesh, the word became a man. This word of God that created everything, that creative force became a man, became Jesus. And that is why Jesus is God. Jesus is the word of God because he is the very word of God. And since the word of God is creator and Jesus is the creator, then Jesus is God. Jesus is the word of God. So the very foundation of our world, Hebrews 11 verse 2 says that by faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We know Hebrews 1 3 says that he sustains all things by the word of his power. The word of God's power is the creation, is the one that creates, he is the one that makes all things, he is the one that puts all things, whole things all together. It is the word of God that is the foundation of everything that we know, everything that is life, everything that concerns us. So when you first understand that it is the word of God that creates, it's the word of God that is the foundation, then now you understand now when Hebrews 4 verse 12 tells us that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing and dividing the line between spirit and soul, joint and marrow, and he is a discerner of the hearts of men. And he says that everything that is laid before him is weak, defenseless. Nothing is hidden before him in all creation. Now you can ask yourself, you know, theologians always will try and define, no one can really define where is the boundary line between the soul and the spirit. You know, that's why it's easier to say the inner man and the outer man, because in the soul and in the spirit, it's very hard to distinguish what is the difference between the soul and where the spirit, where do they interact? What is the cutting line? But you see, the Bible is telling us that the word of God is alive. That means it is living. That means it has the words of life. Jesus himself said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. You know, Peter was saying, to whom will you go to? You have the words of life. So the word of God is living. That means it bears the very life of God. When you have heard the word of God, you receive the life of God. You can be discouraged and you hear a word of God and it shifts your atmosphere. Why? Because the word of God is alive. You just need to hear the voice of God for whatever situation you're facing. It might look like you're at the end of the road, but when you hear that word of God, it breathes life. Now, think of it. The word of God is living and active. That means it has force. It has the creative force. It has the destructive force. The Bible tells us that the word of God destroys the cedars of Lebanon. It shatters the cedars of Lebanon. You can imagine cedars of Lebanon are like 25 feet wide or 25 meters, you know, the circumference. But the word of God shatters. It breaks hills. You know, it makes the deer give birth. The word of God is powerful. Now, it's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. That is to tell you, when you speak the word of God, when you know that word of God, it is that word of God that is going to slice through any situation that the enemy brings your way. It divides bone and marrow, spirit and soul, setting asunder, designing the thoughts and attitudes of men. You're facing men, you don't know what they're planning against you, but speak a word. You know, whenever you encounter the morning and someone's like, I don't know how today will be, speak a word in that moment. Why? Because the word that you speak is the one that goes forth to cut through. It goes forth to defend. It goes forth to speak for you. Angels are always waiting to hear your word. There is so much power in the word of God that it is what the word of God that Jesus used to overcome the devil. When he was going through the temptations, he said, it is written. Man does not live by bread alone. It is written, you know, that you should not honor the Lord your God and serve him only. And then when the enemy continued, he told them, it has been said. That means he moved away from the written the written, then to the spoken. That means that when you now understand how does that word of God become a weapon, it not only becomes a weapon from you hiding it in your heart, like Psalm says that I have hidden thy word in my heart that I shall not sin against you, but that word of God becomes more powerful when it is spoken. Now, this is very important that you understand, because our God is a speaking God. He's a speaking spirit. Now, that means that he speaks and it comes to life. And that is why when God was speaking to Joshua, Joshua 1:8, he tells him, this book of the law, do not let it leave your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, that you might be careful to obey everything that is written in it. Then you shall make your way prosperous. So he was told, do not let the law of the Lord depart from your mouth, not even your heart. Yes, you guard it in your heart. Yes, you hide it in your heart. But there is so much power when you speak the word of God. Why? Because that written word of God in Greek is logos. But then when you speak it, it becomes rhema. So when you learn to speak the word of God, when you learn to declare the word of God, that word of God goes forth with the same creative power of God that he has spoken. Look at Psalms 1 verse 1 says that blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates day and night. We have a responsibility to imbibe that word of God, to hear that word of God, to read it, to stay on it, to speak it. And as we speak it, that word of God goes forth in power. Remember, God says, Psalms 82:11, he has exalted his name and his word above all else. When he calls Jeremiah 1, he tells him that I have called you to be a prophet unto the nations. Then he asks him, what do you see? And then Jeremiah says, I see the branch of an almond tree. And he tells him, you have seen correctly, because I am watching my word to perform it. So whenever you speak the word of God, whenever you come to God with his word and say, God, you have said, God, you have written, God, you have spoken this. Once you have spoken, twice I have heard, all power belongs to you. When you bring that word of God to him, then that word of God, God says, okay, I am watching to see that it is accomplished. That is why in Isaiah 55 speaks that my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways. And he says that as the rain comes forth from the heavens and comes to the ground and does not go back to it without fulfilling that which God said, it giving seed to the sower and planting and you know, bringing life, so is the word of God that proceeds from his mouth. It does not go forth and come back without accomplishing what he said. So the word of God, when it comes forth, it must accomplish what God has said. I tell you, when you understand the word of God, when you speak it, then you will know the power in the word of God. I remember there was a time, you know, when we went for deliverance and we're just, you know, in this room, and there's this lady who we found someone was praying for them prior to that. And she was, you know, she were told that she had some demonic attacks, and the person that had finished praying was like, no, she's okay, she's now fine. And so we were together, and I was with my father, and my father just said, okay, fine, we thank you for prayer, but then we will also pray. So we started singing together, and we sang, the lady was singing the songs and leading the songs, and we were happy. But then my dad said, gave her the Bible and told her, open Isaiah 53. So she opened. And then he told her, now read the word of God, Isaiah 53. Then she started reading, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You know, he grew up before him as a tender shoot, like a drought out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. And he was despised and rejected. The punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. You know, as she read that chapter, she reached verse 5, and she just fell down and said, ah, this is too much punishment. And to me, that stuck so much in my life because I saw how the enemy, how the devil, as the devil was trying to read the word of God and seeing how much they made the Christ to suffer. And as they were, she was reading the word of God, the demon in her fell down and said, "Ah, this is too much punishment." That means that the word of God that was coming in that very moment was so much punishment to them that I knew that there is so much power in the word of God. It was a practical example for me that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Now, that word of God that we know, that you've read, you know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will come and remind you of what I have spoken to you. There is a place when God wants the word that you have been reading, the word that you've been hearing, to come and be alive in your life and to be a weapon. When the Bible says he shall destroy the enemy with just the word of his mouth. He shall destroy the devil with the word of his mouth, with the armies. When Revelation describes him as the one who holds, from his mouth comes out the double-edged sword. That means that what comes out of the word of God in the spirit realm, it is a double-edged sword. And when the enemy sees it, he sees the sword. So the more you have the word of God in you, is the more you will be able to speak it no matter the situation that comes your way. You must have an answer for anything that comes your way. And don't answer from the carnal perspective. Answer from the word of God. I tell you, when you put prayer in your words, when you mix your word with prayer, when you mix the word of God with prayer, and that's why it's later on we'll see how pray in the spirit with all kinds of prayers. When you mix that word with prayer and with faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, then it is the source of the miraculous. That miracle that you're trusting God for is hidden in the scriptures. It is hidden in the word of God. It is hidden in the word of God that you know. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to the word of God. You must believe that the word of God is living, it is active, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. You must believe that the word of God is truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You must know that the word of God is alive, that it is the source of all wisdom. When the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 10, verse 10, if the axis be dull, more strength is needed. But then it says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. What you need from God is the wisdom of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God, is the power of God, is the one that sustains all things, is the one that will create, is the one that will release the miracles. The centurion just cries out, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. What you need today is the word of God. What you need for your healing is just the word of God. What you need for your miracle is just the word of God. It is the word of God that will cut through every situation. It will cut through the forces of darkness. It will cut through depression. It will cut through sickness. It will cut through poverty. When you sit by the word of God, when you remember that each time you sit by the word of God, you are interacting with God himself. God himself comes alive from the scriptures. When you see the word of God, you see God himself. We must learn to honor the word of God. Desire the word of God. Desire the milk of the word of God. Desire the breath of God. The Bible tells us that all scripture is the breath of God, is the inspiration of God. And it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. Foundation of life, foundation of truth, foundation of everything that concerns us is the word of God. What are you hearing? What are you listening to? What are you depending on? Depend on the word of God. The Word of God is our weapon. It's our greatest weapon. And I pray that we shall read it, we shall love it, we shall enjoy it, and we shall depend on it. Let me stop here, and I pray that God will give us more insight into this. You're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Ephraim, for the sermon and good reminder. Indeed, the Word of God is powerful and strong, and as the Bible says, that even all creation, including us, came through the Word. It's evidence enough that all that is in existence came through the Word. So if there's anything to move, if there's any doubt that the Word of God is life, then that is dealt with by just looking at what is around us. In most cases, I think as Christians, we grow so lazy to read the Word of God and think that maybe by only praying and praising, we can overcome some of the battles that we go through. But I think it is important to always remember that reading the Word of God is also an additional weapon that we need to embrace. Because as you did say, that it's life, it speaks to us, it is revelation, it defines situations that we're undergoing, and it's also prophetic. I have had incidences where I've prayed the Word and God has spoken to me what is coming through the Word. Then only when it happens you remember that, I could see this when I was reading, you know. I could see this through these verses when I was reading this Word, you see. But also, to understand the Word of God, I think we need to be ready in a certain way. Because not all that read the Word of God understand it. I think one needs to seek for the grace to be able to understand those words that we're reading. And one has to position their souls and spirit in a way that they can see through what the mere letters you're reading in the Bible are saying to you from a spiritual perspective. You see? But because I remember at one time I asked myself that I'll read the Bible from page to page, you know, from the first page to the last. I started the journey of doing that, but I can tell you that I was reading it as textbook. And there was nothing I was understanding. I was just reading as textbook. You see? And if you read the Bible that way, then it is not, the Word is not going to speak to you. You're not going to understand. True. You see? Yeah. So, but it requires that spiritual preparedness for you. And that is why we always encourage us Christians to first seek for God's grace. Pray before you go into reading the Word.
Amen.
And indeed, you understand it. Yeah. So, yes, thanks for that. And just pray for God's grace to help us get better and better in interacting with the Word.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Powerful. Yes, go ahead, Brenda.
Good morning.
Morning, morning.
I think it was that there is a need to keep feeding our souls with the Word of God and walk through the Word of God.
Okay. Amen, amen. Let the Word cleanse us. Thank you. Let us be reminded. Love the Word of God. In fact, I think one of the things that will help you is just ask God to give you a hunger for the Word of God, to love the Word of God, and to see what He is saying. And that's why, you know, Paul says, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When your eyes are open to the scriptures, oh, you will enjoy it. Because verses will connect to verses. The Bible will be open to you. And as you said it, you can read it as a storybook. But if you read it with revelation, through the help of the author, you know, the Bible has one author, but many writers. The author is the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, when you ask him, he is going to help you understand it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that makes this word alive. And I pray for everyone that is listening, that Lord, this morning, this day, that you open their hearts, open their understanding, the eyes of their inner man to understand the scriptures, to have love for the word of God, to have that commitment, that willingness. Make us willing, O God, that we may be able to read the word of God, to understand it, to desire this spiritual milk by which we may grow in our salvation. And indeed, any blinding force of the enemy, we remove it in the name of Jesus. Indeed, I pray that, Lord, you send us right teachers, right people to hear, to know the truth, to be guided by you. And indeed, may your word guide our steps, direct us, watch over us, protect us, and keep us safe from all evil and works of the enemy. Even this day, as we go forth, we speak the word of God, that we shall be led out in peace. We shall go forth rejoicing. We shall be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, that all things are working together for our good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I pray that healings are our portions, provisions are our portions, blessings are our portion. We shall experience the love and blessings of God all over our life. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.